I'm going to kind of start off with the history a little bit for folks that might not be aware of what Tiny Desk Concerts were. They started in 2008, and it kind of came about over frustration by Bob Boylan and NPR music editor Stephen Thompson, who couldn't hear the music in a bar because it was too loud. So they kind of decided to do a concert where they could kind of have a little bit more control over that, and Tiny Desk Concert was born. And you were the Tiny Desk Concert winner. We're speaking with Galen Lee, and Galen won in 2016. And Galen, as I understand it, you are returning to Davenport for a concert this Saturday, July 22nd. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
That's sweet. And you're coming back to Daytrotter. So what was it about the concert at Daytrotter that made you think, yeah, Davenport's happening, I'm going to go back there? Your schedule is crazy busy.
Well, I really, really enjoyed the show. They were super welcoming. The crowd was very enthusiastic and really fun. They made sure to get a ramp for the stage, which was really cool. And they were just such a nice group of people. Like, the people that run Daytrotter are pretty exceptional. And they love music, and it's just it's one of those things where you feel like they're doing it because they love it, and that's cool. You know, I was glad to be a part of that. So I'm excited to go back.
Well, it looks like that's kind of, obviously, your performance career has really exploded since Tiny Desk, but this has always kind of been germinating. You've always been interested in music, it seems like. You started training on violin when you were still just a kid.
Yeah, I started violin back when I was 10 years old, and I had a really cool teacher that helped me adapt the way I play so that I have a disability and my arms and legs are shorter, so she helped me adapt it like a cello, and I play that way. But I've been doing it for a long time and just kind of following this path of music that's changed over the years, and this is kind of the current chapter that we're in.
Well, you are definitely a shining example of the human ability to adapt and improvise and overcome in order to achieve a dream. So what first lit that desire to learn to play violin? What was it that made you think, oh, I love classical music, I'm going to learn to play the violin?
Well, it was really just this one day in fourth grade. The middle school orchestra came to our school and played for us, and I just really liked the way it sounded and decided that the next year when I was in middle school, I was going to try it out. And yeah, it's kind of history ever since, you know.
And I love the fact that you never saw the fact that you didn't hold a violin the way that it is traditionally held as being something that would stand in your way at all.
Yeah, no, I guess if you have a disability, a lot of your life is spent adapting and improvising. And so it's just kind of like the way I've always done everything. And that kind of has an effect in, I guess you just approach new situations with that idea because you've been doing it your whole life. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And I really think, too, that the way that you hold your violin and the way that you play, I think elicits a sound that is completely unique to you and really adds a lot of depth to the sound. I mean, for most people that think of traditional classical music, and especially with violins, I think when they hear you play, they would be transported to a completely different musical experience.
Yeah, I think that the way I play violin, because I hold it like a cello, I use more cello vibrato. I hold my bow like a bass player. Mm-hmm. And I just think that the way that I do it is different enough where it does kind of affect the sound. It's not something I really thought about a lot, because that's just how I've always played, but I think there are some differences that I maybe wasn't aware of until I won the contest and people started talking about the sound that I have, and I think that that's part of it, is the style I play does change the way that you hear it a little bit, you know?
Oh, I think there's just no question about it, and it almost seems at times like that it's hard to distinguish between the two of you. You and the instrument become this conduit for this amazing sound, and it's just like a melding of the musician and the instrument, and it's really incredible to watch you perform. And I'm super excited that you're coming back to Davenport. I'm hoping we can really build on the crowd for you this year, because I think this is an incredible fusion of music that you're playing as well. That was something else that really caught my ear, is you started off being classically trained, and somewhere along the way, definitely the Celtic fiddle melodies kind of seeped into your soul, and you've got this amazing fusion of both.
In college, I got really involved in a Celtic music group at my campus, and just learned a ton of Celtic tunes, but I never let go of the classical components of like vibrato and just the style, because I think my personal joy is playing music that I really like. Like, I want to play it as beautifully as possible. And I think that vibrato is part of that. And so even though you don't usually, that's just not how you usually play traditional music, I do it that way just because I like it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it is a little bit unique to kind of blend classical with Celtic, but it's a lot of fun.
Well, it works beautifully. You get this amazing, soulful, almost yearning sound in there that it's really quite haunting. It stays with you long after the notes die away, those last notes. You just don't forget it. It really stays with you. And so I was kind of curious about that, because when you play and you hear your music, it clearly reveals your classical training. And I can tell that you haven't lost that discipline for being classically trained. But at the same time, again, you've managed to fuse it with this wonderful element of folk melody that it's really quite beautiful to watch and hear. So Galen, when did you know that your own style of music was something that you could feel comfortable venturing out into, and not, you know, being a performer where you would maybe do a Brahms violin concerto or a Vivaldi violin sonata? When did you know or become comfortable in feeling like you could venture out and bring your music to a wider audience?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I guess it was sort of a gradual process. So after college, I started playing in folk duos and then some bands, and playing mostly backup violin and singing harmonies, and I didn't write my own music. But then in 2011, I met Alan Sparhawk, and he's in like an indie group, called a slowcore group called Low, and he wanted to do a project together that was mostly instrumental, and he brought out this thing called a looping pedal, which records what you're playing and plays it back, and you can layer up sounds. So when we started playing together, it was mostly him operating the looping pedal and me just kind of improvising harmonies to what I was hearing. But he gave me a pedal one day and said, you should practice how to loop, you know, because I think eventually you're going to really like it and you're going to want to perform your own stuff like by yourself. And I didn't really believe him, but I took the pedal and I got, you know, I worked on it. I really enjoyed it. And so I started with these traditional tunes that I had memorized that were Celtic, but I put my own spin on them with the looping pedal and really changed up the energy of the song, I think, or at least the arrangements. But then that kind of led to songwriting. And once I started writing songs and figuring out how to play them on the looping pedal, a lot changed, you know, like that's kind of when I started feeling like I was creating my own music that was unique to me and not just like playing along with someone, which is really fun to do. But like there is something different about creating your own sounds, you know.
Mm-hmm. And had you ever thought of yourself as a singer? I mean, did you feel pretty confident in your ability to sing your own songs?
Not right away. I really didn't like singing when I first started. It made me uncomfortable and nervous. But I did like singing harmonies. So I would sing harmonies, but I didn't usually sing lead. But when you write your own song, I'm really glad that the very first time I wrote my own song, I showed it to Alan Sparhoff during our band practice, and he said, "That's good. Why don't we perform it tomorrow night?" So I literally didn't have time to think about whether or not I really wanted to do that because it was the next day. So I did it, and it was really scary, but there was this unexpected, like, super surge of energy that comes from performing your own songs that I hadn't really experienced before, and it was like your hooks. So it was really fun. It was very scary, and I feel like I've gotten better over the years at it, but I still got a lot out of it even the very first time, and that's kind of what made me realize that I wanted to do it more, you know?
Yeah. So that leads, again, obviously, to when did you hear about Tiny Desk, and what prompted you to go ahead and make a submission of your own?
Well, I heard about the Tiny Desk concerts, like the podcast, a couple of years earlier. And I had listened to some of them, and it was, you know, a nice podcast, but we don't have, like, a lot of access to podcasts. So, I'd heard a few, and we didn't have internet at the time at my house. So, you know, like, once in a while, I'd heard them. But then when the contest came out in 2016, it was the second annual one, but it had gotten a little more press. And my fiddle students started emailing me about it and being like, "You should do this. Why aren't you doing this contest?" And so finally, after the third request, I decided I would enter just because why not? You know, so many people were telling me about it. And so I entered, and little did I know that I would win. I definitely didn't think that was going to happen.
So third time was a charm on that one.
Yeah, I was kind of like, oh my gosh, this contest, like, what the heck? Everyone's telling me about it. So I'm glad that I did eventually enter. I felt very, like, grateful that they were thinking of me, because I don't think I would have figured it out without their encouragement, you know?
Yeah. Well, and you had a couple people jury you that I'm particular fans of, notably Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys. And, you know, he wrote so movingly about your voice. He said it absolutely obliterates the heart. So, yeah. You know, that's the kind of stuff that, boy, it's got to make you feel like this was all worth it. Whatever the preparation and getting together, and like you said, sort of marshaling your fears to say, I can go forward with this. I've got something to say. I've got something to sing, and here's my music. I hope you like it, and then end up winning. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was, like, pretty amazing to read that. Like, I actually got to meet him the next year, and it was just really, it's really cool. I don't know, like, I obviously didn't do music just to get recognition. I did it because it was fun, and I have been playing a long time. Like, I've been performing for 10 years, but it was really, like, surprising and pretty cool to hear that feedback from people like Dan and Lucius. I really like them, and so that was pretty cool. To hear what they had to say. But I mean, but I think, you know, mostly you just have to do it because you love it, you know, and then hopefully people respond, and not everybody responds to the same music in the same way, but that's okay. You know, I was just happy to hear that it was reaching some people anyways, you know.
Well, and obviously it continues to reach wider audiences all the time. And you're, again, coming back to Davenport. You'll be performing at Day Trotter on July 22nd. That's this Saturday. I think doors open at 6 and the music will start around 7 or so. So we're hoping folks will hop down. And if you haven't heard Galen Lee perform, go hear her. I mean, you... Again, you have a very inspirational way of presenting your music. And again, it's just kind of haunting and soulful and all kinds of things that make it linger in your memory, even when you're done playing a song. I always found myself kind of wishing that song would go on a little bit longer, but it ended exactly where it should have. So I think that's always a good thing, don't you, in music, to leave people wishing that it would go on longer, but say, no, that song's done, time to move to the next one.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, I think in any kind of art, you want to get as much, you want to go as far as you can without overstaying your welcome or putting too much busyness or whatever it is I think that's the point, is to leave it at the right moment. And it's hard to, you know, sometimes you're like, oh, that went too long, or, oh, you know, but you got it. You figure it out eventually the more you play, what the right length is and the right amount of notes and stuff. It's fun.
So how has music sort of helped you have a platform to sort of broaden awareness about disabilities?
Yeah, that's a good question. We were just talking about that today, actually, with some people on the internet about disability and music. And, like, I think it's important to be talking pretty frequently and loudly about the issues that still face people with disabilities. You know, this whole debate on healthcare or accessibility or the ADA or anything that affects people and keeps them from living in the community, like, with the support they need. It's important to talk about that, and I think art is a good way to address that directly and indirectly. You know, you can say it directly through your arts, or you can just be someone who talks about their experiences and just gets out in the public sphere. And so I have been able to do some public speaking about my disability and about just our society and where we need to improve to help, you know, the disability community get more integrated and in the, you know, in our society. And I think that's been a really cool side benefit, or, like, you know, something I wasn't necessarily sure would happen, but it's been neat to be able to be a part of that too.
Oh, absolutely. So in that same vein, I think what you would hope would come out of that would be that people don't necessarily see those particular things about a person. It's part of a person and who you are. We all have special abilities, and we all have places that we're not as able in some areas. So I think it's great to have something where people can look past that and not hear that or think about that or see that as some kind of an obstacle between you and anyone else, or you as a musician, or you and your music.
Yeah, I mean, I think disability is pretty much just, like, it's a part of me, and I don't think of it as negative. I think of it as just my identity. And I, in some ways, you know, I don't want people to only think about my disability when I'm performing, but in the other ways, I think, you know, I've read and talked to other people who feel like one thing that we don't do a great job of as a society is acknowledge that there is still so much work to be done. And so I don't obviously want people to, like, be afraid to talk about my disability or acknowledge it, because I think, you know, by that, we can start a conversation about how we can do better as a country. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So yeah, I don't know. It's a multifaceted issue, but I do think that my main message is that disability for me is definitely a huge part of who I am, but I don't think of it as, like, a negative part, or it's just kind of like my identity, you know, like, mm-hmm. it's my body that I have always been in the world in, and that it's not good or bad more than any other body. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And it certainly hasn't kept you from pursuing your dream either, which I think is the inspirational.
I mean, ironically, it does make it harder to tour, because I would say about 80% of venues don't have ramps to the stage. And there are a lot of obstacles that I wish we weren't dealing with on a regular basis, mostly around accessibility. Uh-huh. So I am willing to obviously work around those things, but I hope that the next generation will have an easier time, you know, because the world will improve and be more accessible than it is right now. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. Well, it's wonderful to have musicians like yourself who are willing to go out there and just keep pushing for it in the best possible way and without fear, and just saying, you know, be nice to be able to get up here on this stage. Anybody want to lend a hand?
Hopefully it keeps improving. I think that, you know, if you don't talk about it, or if we don't see people out in the community, it's going to be hard to advocate for change. So I want to be out there advocating too. But yeah, I think there's definitely, you know, I think it's good when people see my musical life and say it's good that her disability didn't stop her, because I don't think it did. But I do think it's important to acknowledge the ways that we could make it easier to pursue people's dreams. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And what we could do to encourage and support people with disabilities that would help it not be such a huge undertaking. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
So, Galen, you are currently working on a new album, is it?
Yes.
I'm
so excited. Yes.
I know. It looks like this is going to be so cool. And I got to thinking, you know, about what you might be playing. And then it just kind of occurred to me, you were mentioning Alan Sparhawk and other musicians that you've worked with and know. And I'm thinking, is there somebody out there that you would love to collaborate with that it just, because of scheduling or whatever, it hasn't quite happened yet?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, honestly, I mean, I think about this, I would love to meet like Yo-Yo Ma or Itzhak Perlman, but I don't really have, I think a lot of these things kind of happen organically in a way that I would never foresee. Like, I really, really never suspected that I'd be playing with Alan Sparhawk at any point in my life, but it was one of the most like important musical connections and like learning experiences of my life musically, you know? And so I don't know. You can't foresee what would be good for you or what would end up being fun. But I'm excited for this album in particular because I am working with a pretty big handful of, you know, Minneapolis artists. And then Alan Sparhawk is going to work on a couple tracks with me as well. You know, songs that I've written that we never got a chance to record together are going to be on this album. And he's going to be a part of that. So I'm just really excited. It's going to be very different sound. Not all the songs that I've written can be looped, and that kind of was the impetus for looking for other people to collaborate on this album with me.
Oh, so we can expect some different sounds from this new one.
Yeah, I mean, it's got the same thread, I hope anyways, the same pulse as my other work, because it's me writing it and singing it, but it is going to be different, definitely more instruments and different arrangements and I don't know, some different topics. I wrote a song actually about disability rights that I'm really excited to put on the album. I don't usually write so directly about disability, but this time I did, and that song to me on there, and just different energy. It's fun. I'm looking forward to it.
So are these all going to be original compositions, or did you take any traditional melodies again and just sort of reinvent them?
There is one for sure. Traditional melody on there, and I'm super excited about it. It's a finished tune that I rearranged, and that's cool, but most of it is going to be original this time, which is another thing that's a little different about the album compared to my other albums.
Yeah.
There could be maybe one more fiddle tune, I haven't decided, but for sure there is the one, and it was a super fun one to play. The one difference that we did with that traditional tune is I played it with the full band, even though I was looping. It's still a different energy than my other albums. So it should be really fun. I don't know. I hope you guys like it. I'm excited about it either way.
Yeah. So what are we looking at for a release date on this one, Galen?
I'm hoping to preview a few tracks later this fall, but I know the album won't be out for sure all the way until 2018. I just want to do the best I can with mixing and then give some lead time, because last time I released it, you know, I only had it done about 3 weeks before the album release date, and I kind of want to do it differently. A little more standard is a couple months ahead of time where you have it done and you send it to radio stations, and that whole job, I guess I'm learning as I go. Every album I get a little more organized, so this one I want to have done ahead of the release a couple months, you know, so it'll be a little while, but I'm going to try to preview a few tracks along the way to kind of, you know, show people what we're working on.
Absolutely. Well, Galen, this has been a real pleasure. I know you guys are driving, so I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but I really thank you for spending some moments with me to talk about your performance coming up here. We'll hope to get everybody out here in force in Davenport to see you play and bring your special brand of beautiful music to the Quad Cities area.
Thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to it. And then I guess the only thing I forgot to mention is in order to raise money for the album, I'm doing a GoFundMe. So anyone who donates will get, you know, access to the new music when it's done. So if people can't make it to the show, there's other ways to get involved. So that's kind of fun.
Oh, yeah. GoFundMe. That's great, isn't it?
Yeah, it's cool. And I'm hoping that people can kind of pre-order and get involved, because it really is. It's a group process. Any undertaking like that big involves the help and support of many, many people. You know what I mean?
Yes.
We don't do any of this stuff on our own. That's for sure.
So true. Yes. So true. Perfect place there to say goodbye to you, Galen Lee. You've been magnificent. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. Have a great day and see you guys soon.
You bet. Thanks, Galen.
Thanks. Bye.
That was Galen Lee, the winner of NPR's second annual Tiny Desk Contest. And Galen makes music like nobody else. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to Galen online, go see her live. She will be in Davenport Saturday, July 22nd. So that's Saturday, July 22nd. Galen Lee will be performing at Day Trotter, which is located at 324 Brady Street. Doors open at 6 p.m. and the music starts at 7. So go check out Galen Lee. And my thanks to Galen for spending some time chatting with me about her music.